Matameo, Disc 3.
Chapter 13. It was early evening, and the rain hammered down relentlessly. Abbot Mordalfus stood with Sister Agnes on the site of the feast. The roasting pit was a mass of soggy black embers. Mordalfus threw a scrap of parchment into it.
"This was how the fox knew all about us,"
he explained.
"It was little Vitch who wrote all the information about us. We gave him a home, and he was a spy in our midst. John Churchmouse saw him running with those ruffians when they fled."
Sister Agnes's whiskers shook with indignation.
"The little hooligan! To think that we took him in, sheltered and fed him, and that's how he repaid us, by spying and noting it all down for the fox. Young Matty Mayo should have given him a bit more of what he gave him in the orchard, Father Abbot. That's what I say."
"I agree with you, sister,"
the old mouse sighed.
"Sometimes violence can be fair when it is used as a chastisement against badness. Is that Brother Sedge waving to us from the abbey? Come, sister, there may be some news for us."
As they walked over to Great Hall, the Matthias and Methuselah bells rang out. They were out of sequence and not tolled with their usual vigour. Agnes pointed to the bell tower.
"That'll be Cornflower teaching baby Rollo to make our bells speak. How good of her. She's keeping little Rollo's mind off his mother. He still doesn't know she's dead."
Sister Agnes wiped a tear away with her habit sleeve. In Great Hall, Matthias was drying himself off, in company with Basil Staghare, Warbeak, and several of her sparrow scouts. The abbot shook a stern paw at them.
"Where did you go off to, without as much as a word to me?"
Matthias tossed the towel aside wearily.
"We've been up the north road. Warbeak and the sparrows flew ahead of us, but the rain was too heavy, so there are no tracks."
Basil blew droplets of rain from his whiskers.
"Belly old rain! They've either travelled up that road a lot faster than we thought they could, or else cut off east into the woodlands or west out onto the plains. Couldn't make out a confounded thing with the old sky juice pouring down like that."
Warbeak fluttered her wings irritably.
"They worms! No can travel faster than us with cats to pull. We catch them, you see."
Abbot Mordalfus gathered up the wet towels.
"So they could have travelled anywhere in three directions from the road. One thing is certain. No creature can track them in this rain, so what can we do?"
Thunder rumbled outside. A vivid lightning flash streaked across the windows of Great Hall. Basil twitched his ears miserably.
"No signs of this little lot letting up, old sport,"
he said to Matthias.
"We're really at Citizen Seven's, laddie. Can't sit around and twiddle our paws and can't get out and track them."
Matthias wiped his sword dry, gritting his teeth angrily.
"Track them or not, we can't let them get away with our young ones."
The abbot folded both paws into his wide habit sleeves.
"We'll bury our dead, and think hard while we're doing it."
Ambrose Spike and Cornflower kept baby Rollo at their side as they tolled the bells that evening. The sky was leaden purple-grey, and rain poured ceaselessly as the procession of Redwallers marched solemnly to the burying place. Dressed in his ceremonial robe, the abbot stood over the twin graves, at the foot of which two weeping willow saplings had been transplanted. Tearfully, the woodlanders passed in single file, each leaving a small memento to their fallen friends, a young mouse mother and a fat little friar. Some brought flowers, others carried offerings of fruit and nuts, or a treasured object they thought might please, a paw-worked purse, a carved wooden ladle, a dock leaf made from green felt. Matthias stood alongside Mordalfus, dressed in his full armour, bearing the sword. Together, the warrior and the patriarch intoned the prayer for those who would rest forever in the abbey grounds.
Suns that set as seasons turn, flowers grow and wither yet. Who can say what flame may burn, friends that we have known and met? Look into the young one's eyes, see the winter turn to spring, across the quiet eternal lake, ripples spreading in a ring.
The rain continued unabated as they filed back to the abbey, leaving Formal and his crew to replace the earth gently over their fallen companions.